My dad was a miner, my grandfather was a miner, and my husband was a miner. And my father-in-law was a miner too. So it's all in mining as regards years ago, you know. And, well, that's all I can tell you.
It's been in the family.
It's been in the family for years, you know. Yeah, and all my father's brothers were miners as well, you know. There were five brothers.
Wow.
So there were six of them in that house as miners.
I bet the bath got dirty.
they did have a bathroom. And they were the only one in the street that had a bathroom.
Oh, wow.
You know. So they're the biggest house in Queen's Crescent, my father's family. It was built special. They had extra bedrooms because they were such a big family.
Wow.
Yeah. But so. But my husband lived in just a little two up, two down in Ford Street.
So how long was your husband working in the mines?
He was 19 years altogether, and he finished in 1965, and he went to RTB as it was then, British Steel it ended up as, in Aberfeyle.
Right.
And he worked there then for about 12 years.
Right.
And then he came out from there with, they were making redundancies, and he took redundancy. And he started work almost immediately over in Hoover's.
Right.
He went as just a labourer, and he was doing a light job over there, you know, because he wasn't very capable of doing labouring, really. You know, he was just taking mail out and brushing up there. He wasn't doing a lot, but he was in work.
Yeah.
And that's all he wanted to do. He didn't want to be at home.
No.
You know.
So why did he leave the mine?
Well, he came out because he was a little bit accident prone to start with.
Right.
He was always in trouble in the mines. He'd have a bump here and a bump there. And he was working, when he went back to the mines after his accident, he had he was in mostly in the timey's office, is it? You know, they do all
in the office. So what accidents?
He had a big accident.
In the mine?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Down in Abertusog. He was 19. And he was working in somebody else's stint, as they call it. You know, they work with an older person.
Right.
And he was buried underground.
Oh.
He had massive injuries on his one leg. And he was in Abertusog Hospital for 20 weeks. Flat on his back and his leg in traction, trying to save his leg. And he had a permanent limp for the rest of his life, you know. He was wearing a big boot.
And but they saved his leg.
They saved his leg, yes, but it was in an awful state.
Yeah.
He was all, from year down, he was all scarred. He had three compound fractures in the one leg. And it was about 3 inches shorter than the other leg by the time they'd finished, you know.
So how long had he been working in the mine when he had that terrible accident?
Well, I don't know. When he must have gone there when he was straight from school, I should think.
Right.
And they finished school at 14 then, didn't they?
Yeah, right.
So he'd been working there probably about 5 years. And then he went back to the mine.
I was going to ask, was he able to go back?
Yeah.
In the mine, or did they give him an easier job.
Right. He was working with the time,
right,
in the timey's office.
Yeah.
But he used to go down underground.
Yeah.
He loved the camaraderie, you know.
That's something I've heard from other ex-miners.
He would have gone back any time underground. He was really, you know, full of it. He loved all the fellas and the friendships, and he had a lot of friends. He did.
Well, one thing I heard is about the camaraderie when I've interviewed other actual ex-miners, and they've said how they're just one big kind of family.
Yeah.
The camaraderie is something that seems to always be mentioned.
Yes.
So he missed...
He missed all that, you know.
So it wasn't the same in the office then?
No, it wasn't. He used to go... he was one of the rescue men.
Right.
You know, and when I was starting to go out with him, we were in a cafe one day, and they came for him. Wow. Because there'd been a big explosion down in Six Bells,
right,
in Abertillery.
Oh.
So he went, they came to fetch him in the cafe we were in having coffee, and his father knew where he was, you know, and he said, he's like, they're up in Rimney, he said, you can go up, find him anywhere up in Rimney, he said, having coffee somewhere, he said, a big gang of them, we always used to go there, you know. And he went with them, and I didn't see him for a week. And I couldn't make out what had happened, but they had gone down as a rescue team from Abertillery. And, you know, I didn't see him after. I had to wait then to get in touch with him, you know.
It was a lot harder in those days.
Yeah, we had no emails or anything, you know, and no mobile phones.
So did you know he was on the rescue team?
Yeah.
Was that quite exciting when you were...
No, not really. Yeah. I didn't think he should be. But because he was a little bit accident prone, as I say, he was always having bumps here and there. You know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Did he tell you about rescue stories? No.
Nothing. No, he was in the RAF from, I don't know when it was, but he joined the RAF with his bad leg. He went in with his bad leg. And they were desperate for people in the army in those days, and they'd take you if you were half dead.
Yeah.
But he was in the RAF down in Wiltshire in Devizes. And then he was up in Coventry when all the bombing blitz was up there. So he's seen a lot.
Yeah. Were you with him at this time?
No, I didn't know him until in the 60s. Right. I met him in 1960.
Right.
And he was a lot older than me. Right. He was 16 years older than me.
Right.
But he didn't seem 16 years because he was like a clown sometimes. He never acted his age at all, you know. I was the sensible one in the marriage,
right.
You know. He had no sense with money. He'd spend whatever he had. But he was lovely.
Yeah.
I loved him to bits.
He does sound lovely.
Yeah, and he was absolutely amazed when we had a daughter. I did him for 6 when he had a daughter. Because he didn't realise we'd have children, you know. I mean, he'd been single all his life. Never thought about getting married. And he was a real bachelor, you know.
Yeah.
But I married him. And we had a lovely girl. She's marvellous, she was. And he loved her to bits. She was a real daddy's girl. She was.
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised. He sounds like
a
wonderful
man.
Yeah,
he loved her.
So going back to when he was in the mine, and you weren't with him, or when he was in the mine.
No, I didn't know him then. I didn't know him when he had his accident.
Right. But did he mention anything? Did he say he was looked after by the coal mine?
Nothing. No. He never mentioned anything about it.
Yeah.
And of course, he had a lot of back trouble after.
Right.
And it was discovered that when he was in Abertillery Hospital, he was so long on his back, they never gave him an X-ray on his back. And they didn't know that he had damaged his back underground.
Right.
So all the bottom part of his spine had been crumbled in the accident. So he was really, really disabled with his back. Afterwards, he was in a surgical corset and he had a big, big shoe. The sole of his shoe was that high. Because he had such a limp, you know.
Yeah.
But he managed. He worked all his life up until 1979.
So, do you know if he had any kind of compensation for his accident?
I don't know. He didn't when I was married to him.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, he was working in somebody else's stint, as they call it, you know, and they never used to do it then.
They
never had compensation then.
Yeah.
No.
Which is, So, but when he left, he chose to leave because he didn't enjoy the office, or was he made redundant? Or
no, he just wanted another job. When he left, he was working on the water courses.
Right.
Because he came out from the pit then. Because they moved the Abbotsford of Pit to Ogilvy.
Right.
And that was down in Derry.
Was that too far?
You know, so he said, I'll stay with the NCB, he said, but I'll go on the estate. And that's what he did. They were doing the repairs to the NCB houses, and he chose to work on the watercourses.
Right.
And there were watercourses all the way up on the mountain in Blaen Rymney. Right up where the Graig Cemetery is. I don't know if you know Rymney area at all. Mm. But it's right up the top end of Rymney, where the mountain is.
Right.
And him and another bloke had to clear all the watercourses all the way down right through Rymney, right the way, and it used to come down into Pondotton and go into the Rymney River. And they used to keep that clear all the time. That their permanent job was going from one end to the other all the time, you know, cleaning and keeping it all clear.
Did he enjoy that?
Yes, he did. He loved being out in all weathers, you know. He never missed a shift. He worked and worked and worked all his life.
Yeah.
He was never on the sick. Not until the last going off in 1979 and he had to finish, you know. But, he worked all his life.
He was a grafter.
He was a grafter.
Yeah, sounds like a grafter.
Yeah. And he was a good carpenter, you know. Yeah. He used to make lots of bookcases and little tables. And I've got a little table there now that he made.
Oh.
Just a little one there.
Oh.
And it's one that you can pull around, you know.
Yeah.
But and I've got bookcases upstairs that he made. Yeah. Yeah.
So, going back to the mines, do you think he ever regretted being there since he had an accident?
No, he never regretted being in the pit.
It was just kind of, that's how it was.
His father was a miner.
Yeah.
He'd never seen anything else, you know, and it was all mining in Rymney then. There were so many pits here. Because my father's family, they were in Pidwell, as it was called then. And they all worked there.
Yeah.
The whole families were working there.
And do you know of any other accidents in that pit where your husband works, or any other?
No,
pits?
I don't. I haven't got any idea.
There was an awful lot of accidents in the pits.
Well, they didn't have the safety measures then, like they got now.
Yeah.
You know.
And it was just a dangerous job.
Yeah. Hello. I went down, I took some relatives from America down Blaenavon Pit, you know, big pit. And I went down purposely with my daughter and my cousin. And I took them through, and I was really claustrophobic down there. And he worked in something like that, you know, right on the pit, on the coal face.
Yeah. It was a hard job.
Oh, yeah. I could never have done it.
No. I think it was probably the camaraderie that kept
that's what kept them all going, you know. I mean, there was always a big gang around you when you were working underground. They weren't there on their own.
Yeah.
You know.
But, and if something happened, it sounds like they would all pitch in and help.
Well, he had to be dug out when he had his accident. He was really buried alive, you know.
But so his co-worker saved his life?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
How long did he stay buried?
I've got no idea. He wouldn't talk about anything much. He was the same when he was in the RAF. He never spoke about what he'd seen when he was in the RAF, you know.
Stiff upper lip.
Never spoke about anything that was bad then.
Right.
No.
After he had his accident, do you know whether his wages changed because he was on an easier job?
Got no idea.
Yeah, no idea.
I didn't know him, see, until he was 43.
Yeah.
We got married when he was 43.
Right.
never spoke about what he had done before or anything. I know he worked in London in after he came out of the RAF, he worked in London in Smith's Clock Factory in Kilburn.
Right.
Him and a couple of friends up there, you know. Yeah. And then he went up to Birmingham and he worked in Cadbury's, just say about a year, I don't know. But then he came back to Rumney and he went back in the pit.
Oh, he went back into the pit?
He went back to Abertusog.
Right.
And then, of course, he worked there until they moved the Abertusog pit closed. And he went to work in Oglevy. And he wasn't very happy down in Oglevy because it was too far to get to, you know. But then he went on the NCB estate. And he finished in 1965. And he went to RTB's to work. Because that was the next biggest thing around here, you know, the steelworks. And he drove a forklift there for 12 years.
Right.
With the big reels of steel.
Wow.
What they do, you know. Yeah. All that. He was working on that.
So, did he enjoy that?
Yeah. He loved it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You said you had family as well working in the mines.
Yeah.
Do you, and your father, did
My
you say?
My father.
Do you remember your father coming home from work? And
1948 he was still in the pit, my father, but he had to finish because he had bad eyes.
Right.
He had what they call an astigma. Something like that. It affected his eyes. Oh. He came out then and he was working on a building site then when my mother died. Right. And he worked all on John Morgan's builders in Cardiff. Right. He used to travel to Cardiff with them. Yeah. All during the war, that was. Oh. I can remember him, you know, and he'd bring me a present every Friday, payday. You know, what you remember things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you remember much about other relatives and their stories of being in the mines?
It was only little then, you know.
Yeah.
My dad was working on the building site when my mother died, and I was only 13 then.
Oh.
And my sister was 5.
Oh, wow.
So I had to take over looking after the house for my dad.
Oh.
So, yeah. We both had a hard life, really, but we still survived, you know.
Yeah.
I'm 82, so...
Yeah. And you look great for 82.
Thank you very much.
You do.
Yeah.
Because when you were telling me how old your husband was and how long ago he died, I was thinking, you're not the same age.
He'd be 98. Wow. He was 98 now in September.
Oh.
September the 7th his birthday was.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you've got lots of happy memories.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. I'm not saying we didn't have a spat now and again, but... he'd walk out on me, and he never used to argue.
Aww.
And he'd come back and he'd say, "We're finished now." and that used to make me even more annoyed because he wouldn't argue. But there we are, that's it.
So do you think times have changed from the old days?
Oh, yes, definitely, I think so. They've got more safety precautions now than they ever had, you know. They've got more systems and different things. Yeah.
Can you think of anything else?
Are you aware of any other people who had accidents in the mines?
Not really, no. Well, I know of my own father's family, you know. I know one cousin of my dad's, he lost his leg completely. He had a false leg. And my uncle up the farm, he had a peg leg.
Right.
He had a stump. And then he had a wooden leg.
Wow.
They didn't have proper artificial limbs then, you know. And he used to be comical. He'd go in the garden and he'd be putting his leg down and dropping a potato in it, you know, to plant. he used to be so funny. He did. But, he lost his leg completely.
Do you know what happened to him? Do you know what happened?
Yes,
exactly?
He broke.
What kind of accident he had? What happened exactly? Do you know?
I don't know. No, he just lost his leg in the pit. I knew that.
And did he go back working in the pit after?
No. No, he worked on the farm always after.
Right.
Because they were a big family up there.
Wow.
Yeah, 12 children.
Wow.
Yeah, they all worked on the farm.
Right.
Yeah, and it only got sold a few years ago, you know. They all worked there, one after the other, carried on with the farm until it had to finish.
And you don't know if he had any compensation for the loss of his
leg? No, I don't know anything.
No.
I don't think they did then.
Yeah.
So that's it.
So to you, mining was a way of life?
Yeah.
That's kind of...
Coal was very cheap for what it was, you know, for people's lives. There was a lot of lives lost and a lot of accidents that ruined other people's lives.
Did you know of anybody who had lost a loved one?
Well, there were lots of accidents. I was young.
Yeah.
Never took much notice of people, you know. But my dad came out to the pit and he worked on the building site. He preferred to be out in fresh air.
Yeah.
He did. He didn't want to go back underground at all.
No. Did he suffer from a bad chest? Or
no.
And it rise?
No, my husband didn't either.
Right.
He didn't have silicosis as it was in there, you know. He never had anything on his chest. And yet he died of lung cancer.
Oh, did he?
He had liver cancer at the end.
Oh.
But he'd had part of his lung taken out because he had cancer. But he was a smoker for years, you know. And then when I had my daughter, he gave it up. So for 25 years, he hadn't smoked. And then they found a spot of lung cancer and they took part of his lung out. And he was lovely for 5 years. And then he had another type of cancer in his liver. And that was... inoperable. That was, and he died. Yeah, but he lived for 5 years after having part of his lung out. Mind.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yes, he did. He'd had the all clear from that, and then about 2 months after, I was in work. I was working in a florist shop in Tredegar, and I had a phone call. He said, "You better come home." He said, "I'm in awful pain." And I sent for the doctor, and I thought, oh, he must be bad to send for a doctor, because, you know, they don't send for the doctor.
No.
And the doctor was here when I came home, and he said, I want him to go for an X-ray and a CT scan, he said, immediately. And they found out he had massive mass in his kidney, in his liver, inoperable. And he lived until the following September.
Oh.
Only about 8 weeks he was.
Oh, wow. Mm. Oh, that must have been terrible.
Yeah. Came out of the blue.
But you had that extra 5 years.
Yes, exactly.
From the lung cancer, yeah.
Yeah, he was operated down in Llandoch.
Yeah.
In Llandoch Hospital.
I like Llandoch.
Oh, a marvellous doctor down there, Dr. Bouchard.
Oh.
Yeah. He was lovely. Yeah.
Oh, well, sorry to end on such a negative note, but your husband just seemed like such a lovely fella.
He was fun from the time he woke in the morning, and he'd get into such scrapes.
Yeah.
He used to cause no end of problems. Got stuck up a tree, and we had to have a fire engine for him to get him back down, because he'd gone up for a cat and the cat had jumped down before him and he couldn't get back down.
And how old was he then?
Oh, well, we were living away. We were
so
living in
a
different
place.
No, he was a man, and he got stuck up on the roof with a fireman next door, and they had to send for the fire brigade to get him down. Oh, he was in all sorts of trouble when he was married, when we were first married. Oh dear, dear. He got electrocuted in my father's. Came down out of the loft. And when we were living in Thomas's Row, when we had a house of our own then, when we moved from my father's, And we had a terrible, terrible lot of snow, and we didn't have an attic as such. It was a slope where our bedroom was. But the rest of the house had attics, and they were all right the way across the street. You could go from one house to the other. And he was clearing upstairs in the attic, because the snow had all come in through the roof. So he was upstairs with the bucket, and I was downstairs with a big bath. And he was handing it all down to me, you know. And he was cleaning and cleaning and cleaning. And I shouted up to him. I said, how long are you going to be up there? I said, are you cleaning the Albert Hall or what? And next door but one's a woman, a lady living next door but one. She could hear all this going on, and she was laughing. She was upstairs and doing all the attic and everything. And all of a sudden, anyway, I could hear a big rumble, and I thought, oh God, what have happened? And he'd come down through next door's roof and into our bedroom. And she was waking the bed, and he fell on the bed. And he was covered all in this old stuff out of the roof, you know, all the rafters and things. And she came in knocking the door like this, and she was covered in stuff. And she said, come and see what you've done now, she said. She was always in trouble. Come and see what you've done now, she said. All the roof in the bedroom is down, she said.
Oh, God.
And he was there all covered in all plaster and God knows what. He was in a state. So we had to buy and do a ceiling in there for her, you know. And he was no end of trouble, he was. A laugh every minute, you know. And you ought to have a good sense of humour with him.
Yes, it sounds like.
But, yes, he was wonderful. Lovely man.
Oh, well, thank you so much for talking to us.
Have I told you enough about things?
Yes, it's been great. Oh, thank you.
Okay.